Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
All right, it is a new week here. Alexander, I am Jared Smith in for Gil the next 2 days. This is a numbers game live from the D in downtown Las Vegas. I've got Kelly Bidlin here as well. Kelly, and I'll be honest, so this is the first time I've done this show. Walking across Fremont Street to the D at 6 a.m. I can check that off the bucket list now. That was a new experience for me that I'd never had before. I've lived in Vegas now for about 18 months. But how are we doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Every once in a while, I will go across the street to Dunkin' Donuts. And even that, just going across Fremont, it's usually some solid people watching. So, yeah. Going all the way from Circuit to the D, I'm sure you saw some great things on a President's Day weekend.
Honestly, probably a little quieter than normal. If it was a regular Monday from Sunday night into Monday morning, some of the leftover party crowd sometimes might still be around floating there at 6 a.m. But President's Day, everything's buttoned up. We got a great show today. Coming up a little later this hour, Jay Kahn from SiriusXM Fantasy Hockey Show does a really good job. Going to talk a little puck with us. And then in our next hour, Steve Mackinnon, VSiN writer and editor, of course, you know his work, very familiar with his stuff, is going to chat with us as well. But Kelly, I think a good place to start is the show, of course, presented by DraftKings. We appreciate all of you tuning in after what was a very interesting NBA All-Star weekend. And I think that obviously is top of mind this morning as we get going. Of course, the Saturday and Sunday, very different when it comes to NBA All-Star weekend. And I think that's where I want to start today, because the East set a scoring record last night. I think 3 points was a record as well, attempts and makes for the East as they win 211-186. No consequences from the game, right? There's no home court advantage at stake. It was one of those games where I was hoping, based off of the line movement that we saw in the 24 hours or so leading up to the game, that Adam Silver's messaging, which was, guys, we need to have a little bit more giddy up, a little more oomph with the All-Star game compared to what we saw last year. I think, Kelly, that's why we saw this number drop considerably. I mean, I bet under 366 at South Point on Saturday morning. And by the time we wake up Sunday, we're sitting in the 350s. This number closes 353. So I think the sentiment across town with the professional gamblers was that, okay, we're going to see a little bit more defense. We're going to see a little bit more hustle in the All-Star game. That was not the case. It was loafing. It was lollygagging. It was a dunk fest. It was a half-court three-point fest. Damian Lillard went absolutely bananas after winning the three-point contest on Saturday night. Had another great night on Sunday. And I just don't know what to make of what I watched, because it just felt like these guys cared less this year than last year.
Yeah, it's first off, you know, congratulations, Dame. Take the rest of the season off. You've accomplished everything you needed to accomplish this year, right?
It's true.
I felt those vibes yesterday too. It was like, all right, man, like you got a long rest of the season left to go here with the Bucks, or a team that needs to get a whole lot better real quick. It was interesting, Jared. I think that's true. I mean, you had Adam Silver's comments. You had some Larry Bird comments about wanting to see some effort. I don't really know why. I mean, the total movement was wild. That was wild.
Yes.
And I think you're right. I think that's why it occurred. I just think if that was Adam Silver trying to get a message across to the NBA players, they don't care, man.
No.
They don't care. I think I think what we saw was a lot of the success of the in-season tournament was, we talked about how much are these star players going to care about a little extra cash.
Good point.
I think there was some of that, Jared. We did see that play out. But I think more importantly for a lot of those guys, it was the realization, if you're a LeBron James or something like that, that it's, there's a lot of other guys that have to contribute to me getting to where I get to.
Yeah.
And it was trying to go out there and win the money for the rest of those guys. And I think the All-Star games, all of them are broken. Like, I don't think there's any fixing. I know there's a lot of that discussion this morning. I'm like, what do we do to fix this? I don't think there is anything fixing this. I think if you can continue to improve on the stuff that they're doing on Saturday nights, much like we were talking a little before the show, you brought up the Home Run Derby. The Home Run Derby's awesome.
It's the pinnacle of All-Star events.
It's great. I think the three-point contest is great.
Agreed.
I think what they did with Steph Curry and Sabrina Ionescu was great. I think the dunk contest is the one that we we could actually maybe fix.
Sure.
And can we throw some money at that and maybe make that a thing?
I think judging events is always difficult. That's why whenever I bet on I have bet on the Olympics before, I always struggle with the events that are judged. I prefer the events that are timed or you can get points, et cetera, because the events that are judged, there's bias involved. And the dunk contest is kind of its own separate entity.
Never forget getting burned in the floor exercise in 2016. That was just a brutal loss.
Figure skating, for crying out loud. Like, can we? But so the thing about it is, I'm looking at it from a unique lens. So, you know, Kelly and the staff that covers the NBA here on the network, absolutely fantastic. They're diehard NBA guys. They're watching the All-Star game no matter what. The goal of these events is to bring in the casual, which is me. I used to be a diehard NBA better watcher when the Knicks were good back in the 90s, 2000s. And then a little bit over the last couple of years, I've kind of receded because I'm getting into football and kind of baseball, Nerfies, college basketball. Those are kind of my sports that I focus on. So the NBA, like the NHL, like golf, which are sports that I love to watch, to play, they've taken a back seat with my everyday handicapping.
Sure.
Makes sense. The NBA, I am the target market for what the All-Star game should be, which is the casual NBA fan right after the Super Bowl. That's when they really start to get invested in the league as we make that ascent towards the playoffs. And they lost me. I mean, I sat down on my couch last night for the first time in what feels like since last finals and actually watched the game. And I just was at a loss. Like, it was just guys just running up and down. And I know there's no fixing this. Kelly is correct. This is what it is. Adam tried to have a heart-to-heart with the players. We thought it was going to work. And I think from a gambling perspective, if you want to spin this back towards the gambling vein, the movement we saw yesterday is a classic example of how information disseminated through a market eventually filters down and then just absolutely blows up a market. And we saw this with the WNBA All-Star game a couple years ago, not quite to the extent of that, which was like a 20th. It was like a crazy move. But still, I had an opportunity if I wanted to yesterday, and I took a little bit off the top, a 13-point middle in an NBA game. I know it was an exhibition, but an NBA game, right? I bet under 366. Market closed 353. I took a little bit back over 353. So as I'm watching it, I'm just kind of like, all right, let's hope for a middle, but also not concerned with which side will actually hit because my bet was relatively protected. So I'm watching this game with an open mind. And I just, there was nothing redeemable about it last night. It just felt like nobody cared.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. I look, from a betting standpoint, I think what you did, we were texting about yesterday, that's about as best as you can do in an NBA All-Star game. I think there are some guys I know that kind of track player prop stuff. I do think that's an angle when you know some guys that never score.
The props are always an angle in any sport now because of what the markets are available.
Totally, yeah, absolutely. But I mean, for the most part, side total. Like, you just save the money for something else. Like, there are too many other things that you can actually truly handicap and bet on to be throwing away your money on this.
So the story behind it for me was I got a tip earlier in the week. It was on Thursday that there was some big under money coming in at one of the smaller retail shops here in America. And it was kind of it kind of slipped through the cracks kind of bet where it happened overnight. And some of the traders were confused because it was they thought it was a regular season game and it wasn't. But what that did was it kind of set this, I think, numbers grab in motion where all of a sudden I started to see come Friday, Saturday, all of those three. I mean, there was 368s
out
there.
Yeah, it was wild. Yeah.
And then I started to slowly see that trickle down Saturday. And then Sunday morning is when we really saw the descent downward. And it was just a march lower on that total. 360, steaming it under. 355, steaming it under. And I think the landing spot was 353. Game fly. It was a stone cold over from the start. It cleared it by 40 points. 211, 186 to final. The East wins. And you could just see the Adam Silver in the press conference or in the presentation right after the game. He's just like, well, you scored the most points. Like, you could, even Adam was kind of struggling to hold back. Like, man, what did we just put on?
Yeah, he didn't look happy. He just flat out didn't look happy. You had scoreboard issues where they didn't even have a two available because nobody had gotten like 200 before.
That sounds about that.
That was a thing somehow last night.
That's on brand.
Like, I, All-Star game. Hey, it is what it is. I feel like every one of these that we're going to complain about them three times a year, right?
We'll get back to regular business tomorrow.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Mac McClung, the other star of the weekend, won the dunk contest again. And again, the dunk contest to me, it used to be the pinnacle. It was the home run derby, right? The Vince Carter days, yep, and even the Nate Robinson days, like 10, 15 years ago. But I think the last few years, it's become a little bit, I don't want to say sterile, but Mac McClung's not even an NBA player.
Yeah, I mean, half the dudes that participated on Saturday night are not in the NBA. Yeah.
I think the only thing that can save the dunk contest, if they do a drastic renovation of how it's graded, or LeBron, Giannis. Like, one of those guys saying, okay, screw it. Let's just do it and figure out a way to pump some life into what I think, in my eyes, has the potential to be the jewel of an All-Star weekend.
I'm with you, and I think that there is, like, the All-Star game I'm kind of giving up on. I think the dunk contest, there's something you could do. I don't have all the answers, but with the way they put together the in-season tournament and how well it worked out, I think there is some kind of financial motivation you could. I mean, if it's a large amount of money for some of these star players, like charities
something
that they work with or something like that, like, I think there's something that you could get these guys back involved. But it is, like, it was nice seeing Jaylen Brown involved, but, like, that's about as big a star as we've seen, you know, involved in the dunk contest in several years.
We need Jaylen Brown along, and we need Jaylen Brown to be the least of the amount of stars.
Exactly, yes.
Like, he needs to be, like, the bottom star, and then the other stars are at the top.
And even him, Jared, you could tell he was working on his routine for a few days, but Mac McClung's been working on his for, like, a year now.
It was his Super Bowl.
It
was his Super Bowl, so, and he was a $2 favorite to win it. All right, lots more stuff to get to on A Numbers Game. Of course, I'm Jared Smith in for Gil Alexander today. Kelly Bidlin here as well. We're live from the D. College Hoops on the other side. I got a bet for you. Stay with us.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, if you're looking for a betting edge on college basketball, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get our daily best bets emails, 24/7 video access, the upcoming College Hoops betting guide, bracket breakdowns, plus full access to VSiN.com with our exclusive betting split breakdowns on every game. Visit VSiN.com/pro to subscribe today. That is VSiN.com/pro. Jared Smith back here on and up. In for Gil Alexander for the next 2 days. We appreciate you joining us here. President's Day Monday. We are live at the D in downtown Las Vegas. Kelly Bidlin here with us as well. And joining us now, he is the co-host of The Point and of the Fantasy Hockey Show on SiriusXM. He is Jay Kahn. Follow him on Twitter at JayHahn4. Jake, it's great to talk some puck with you this morning. We're just on the heels of the NBA All-Star Game. We just had the Hockey All-Star Game right last weekend, and we had the Stadium Series, I believe, over the weekend. So very excited time for the hockey world. Did you catch the Stadium Series from New York over the weekend?
I did, actually. I was able to watch both games, and it's funny. Usually we go with the unders in the Stadium Series or any outdoor game, right? That's kind of the narrative that's been out there, and I tend to gravitate towards the unders as well, but we saw two very high scoring games at the Stadium Series over the weekend, and just an unbelievable comeback from the Rangers against the Islanders yesterday. Honestly, probably one of the better outdoor games, or one of the more memorable outdoor games. It had fights, it had goals, it had a third period comeback, an overtime winner. So that was great. And yeah, going back to the All-Star game as well, it was actually hosted here in Toronto where I am. So that was honestly one of the better weekends I think I've had covering the game of hockey. So it's been a real fun couple of weeks for the NHL, and now we're able to ramp it up. And hey, a lot of extra eyeballs, I think, on the league for the next few days. The NBA doesn't return until, I believe, it's Thursday, right, guys? So
yeah,
a few days here where maybe some NBA bettors are looking to sprinkle some coin down on the NHL.
That is a fantastic point. As a Rangers fan, I was able to cover the Stadium Series. It was like 8 years ago, the last time it was in New York. It was at Citi Field, And it was a blast. Other than the fact it was freezing cold, it was a really fun event. And I'm sure they did a great job at MetLife over the weekend. All right, let's get into tonight's games, because as you mentioned, there are no NBA, so there might be some basketball bettors looking to get involved in some puck tonight. Wings and Kraken. This is a bit of an afternoon game, I guess, in Seattle here on President's Day. Kraken about a 35 or so cent favorite, now up to 40 cents now on the money line, total sitting at 6. What's the look here?
Yeah, early puck drops are definitely the theme here. Obviously out on the West Coast, so it's even earlier. I believe it's a 12:30 puck drop, or maybe 1 o'clock puck drop out in Seattle local time. So early game, I think we're seeing a lot of those. I know the Blues game, they dropped the puck at noon local time as well. So a lot of teams playing in maybe some uncomfortable positions in terms of start time. So it could be difficult to figure out who will respond to those types of situations. But I just think goals could be tricky to come by in this game, guys. If we get the goaltending matchup now, Alex Lyon is confirmed for Detroit. I'm assuming Joey Decord is going to go for Seattle because they've had a few days off. They're going to go with their best goaltender as well. So with those two guys between the pipes, they've quietly been two of the better, more consistent goaltenders in the league this year. And they were basically unknowns coming into the year, two guys that we wouldn't even look at starters. But that just kind of goes to show you what happens with goaltenders in the National Hockey League, and they could be tricky to figure out year to year. But these are two guys that I really trust. So with a total at 6.5, I think the under is worth a look here. Money line, I think the value is probably with Detroit at plus 120. I maybe a small bet on the Red Wings on the money line, but I prefer the under 6.5 here. I think it could be a struggle for these teams to run up the score.
Canucks and Wild today. Vancouver is a slight road favorite. Again, total sitting at 6. That seems to be most of the totals these days, right? Jake, 6, 6.5 with juice to the over there in Minnesota.
We are seeing the market come down a little bit on the totals. I think that's a good point to bring up, because I mean, we saw it rise significantly over the last couple of years, and now it's kind of settling back down. Like you said, most of the totals kind of sit in that 6 range, but we are seeing some 5.5s pop back up there as well as teams tighten it up. And we'll see if that trend continues as the season goes on, because now we're getting into that playoff style hockey that we always talk about, where it can be a little tighter, a little more difficult to create chances and score goals. But I'm going to give Minnesota a look here on home ice. I don't like to go against Vancouver, and they are coming off a loss on the weekend, so I think the Canucks are going to be motivated to bounce back. But I just think this is the last ditch effort for the Wild. The chances of them making the playoffs are pretty slim at this point. There's just not too many spots for them to try to track down. But I believe in that room, they still think that they're in this, and they're going to try to go on a run here, right? And they've actually been playing some decent hockey over the last couple of weeks. Love the top line that they've got going right now. So as a plus money home dog in, you know, sort of a weird day game, I'm going to take the Wild. And I'd also give a look to Matt Boldy on the shot prop. Over 3.5 shots for Matt Boldy playing on that top line I just referenced, with Joel Eriksson-Ek and Kirill Kaprizov. He has been firing the puck lately for Minnesota.
I remember, Jake, I used to bet totals when they were 5, and I'm thinking to myself, man, 2-2, we're good. We go to overtime, we get that third goal on either side, we get a push. Now it is a completely different game with totals in the NHL. We are joined by Jay Kahn, co-host of The Point, and the fantasy show over on SiriusXM. Does a great job covering the NHL for us. Jake, let's get to Leafs Blues. You get Toronto, a pretty sizable favorite on the road, about 50, 55 cents here, and a higher total between Toronto and St. Louis, 6.5.
Yeah, we actually just saw this game last week in Toronto. I was in attendance for this game, and it was a bit of a snoozer, guys. I'm not going to lie. The Blues came in on, I believe it was a 5-game win streak coming into that game against Toronto. And I thought, man, okay, I'm going to get to see this red hot Blues team. The Leafs at the time were dealing with an illness in the room. Their top defenseman is suspended right now in Morgan Riley. So they had a depleted lineup, and St. Louis just did nothing in that game. They were very disappointing. So look, I'm willing to give any team a pass. It's a long season. You're going to throw in a bad game every now and again. But if you take away that game, the Blues have actually been playing some real good hockey of late. And I think they're going to be motivated to bounce back here. And like I mentioned, this is a noon puck drop in St. Louis. The Leafs played at home over the weekend in Toronto. So got to travel to St. Louis, then play an early game. I just think it's kind of a tough scheduling spot for the Maple Leafs. And if you're getting the Blues at plus money as a team that just lost to Toronto last week, I like the value with the Blues here. The one thing to watch out for the Leafs, though, is Austin Matthews. This guy is just on an absolute tear right now. Back-to-back hat tricks. So he's going for 3 hat tricks in a row. Wow. In this game. And I certainly wouldn't put it past him the way that this guy can score goals. He's one of the best goal scorers I've ever seen. But I'm still going to go with the Blues here and give me the Jake Neighbors shot prop. I'd like to take it up to over 2.5. You can get it around plus 170. I think that's a nice bet with him on the first power play right now.
Jake, shot on goal props to me have been, I think, one of my favorite parts about betting hockey over the last, let's say, year or so. That, you know, I think the prop market has really become a big thing. Is that the most popular prop that's bet these days in hockey? Is it shots on goal?
It certainly became the most popular bet. And I think to the point where maybe you don't get as much value as you used to about a year ago, maybe even 2 years ago, where they were hanging some real nice lines. And I think people were taking advantage of it. So I think the market has adjusted a little bit to the point where, okay, now we have to start looking at some unders. I think a lot of people were, you know, just trying to hammer your favorite overs, take your guys that are going to shoot the puck a lot, but the market has adjusted. And you know, I think the bettors now have to adjust the other way as well and say, okay, you know, can we find some value on some unders on some of these guys? But hey, it's a little bit more fun to take the overs on the shot props, cheer for guys to shoot. But I do think we've had to adjust here, at least over the course of this year. And they've been a little more stingy with the shot tracking as well. So something to keep an eye on.
Well, that's interesting.
That is an interesting wrinkle.
It's a great market. Jake's always all over it, Jared. It's one I always think about it as an NBA bettor. I'm like, where I wish I could bet on field goal attempts.
Yeah, you know, like what I mean? Passing attempts, right, in the NFL.
Exactly, because I know some guy's going to shoot it a ton. And
100%. Just don't know if they're going to go in.
They don't know if they're going to go in, exactly.
Yeah, I think, Jake, the way that the hockey markets have evolved is fascinating with the props. Let's get to the game of the day, and it is another early game. Stars and Bruins, and I was surprised, and I know Dallas is really solid, but I was surprised. Boston is a relatively short favorite at home. I'm assuming a lot of people are going to want to bet the Bruins at home in this holiday environment today. But what say you about two of the best teams in hockey squaring off in Boston today?
Yeah, I've kind of flip-flopped back and forth on this one. I'm not going to lie, guys. I initially looked at it and I thought, well, Dallas is just playing better right now. The Bruins have lost four in a row. They don't really look like the Bruins. They had a crazy game against LA on Saturday, back and forth, and they ultimately lost in an overtime 5-4, so it was more of a higher scoring affair. Technically or historically, the Bruins are really good in these matinee spots. They play a lot of day games, so they're very comfortable playing an early start type game. So like you said, short favorite for Boston. I don't think you're going to get this type of price with them too often. The Stars team is really deep. They're very dangerous. Not a team I like to bet against very often, but I think at this price, I am leaning towards the Boston Bruins to bounce back. It's just a team that I trust. They're too consistent. They're not going to lose too many games in a row here. So I'd shop the number a little bit, maybe even look to get in live if you can find a better number on Boston. But I think the Bruins find a way to navigate a win today.
Last 30 seconds here, Jake. You got the Golden Knights, almost a $3 favorite at the Sharks. You got another big favorite, the Hurricanes against the Blackhawks, and the Oilers, almost a $3 favorite against the Coyotes. Of those three big favorites, anyone on upset alert today?
I like all the chalk there. I just think that those teams are significantly better, but the Oilers are the chalk I like the most. Arizona playing second half of a back-to-back. They just played Colorado last night, and they're starting a goaltender who's getting his first NHL start, and he's going up against the Beast in Edmonton. So if you're looking for a parlay piece, a nice favorite, I think I would go with the Oilers today.
Always a nice parlay piece. Jay Kahn from The Point and the Fantasy Hockey Show on SiriusXM. Follow him on Twitter at JayHahn4. Thanks for joining us, pal.
Yeah, great chat with you boys.
More numbers game.
Have a nice holiday Monday.
Ah, you too. More numbers game coming up next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on college basketball, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get our daily best bets emails, 24/7 video access, the upcoming College Hoops betting guide, bracket breakdowns, plus full access to VSiN.com with our exclusive betting split breakdowns on every game. Visit VSiN.com/pro to subscribe today. That is VSiN.com/pro. Jared Smith in for Gil Alexander for the next 2 days here on a numbers game. We are live in downtown Las Vegas at the D Resort and Casino. Kelly Bidlin here as well. We'll be joined in a minute by Steve Mackinnon, but we were talking about college hoops there for a minute. I will rehash the fact that I did take 9 points with Iowa State tonight. They are on the road at Houston. This Iowa State team is certainly one to keep an eye on down the stretch. I think the Big 12 is the best conference in college basketball this season. I think the road wins for Iowa State have been intriguing. Anytime you go on the road and you beat teams like Texas and TCU, and I think that is where held Baylor down as well, almost knocked off the Bears on the road, lost by two. But I think this Iowa State team, one of the best defensive teams in the country, according to the metrics. And again, winning on the road is not easy, but keeping a low total game, right? This game between Houston and Iowa State, low total in the 120s, high 120s, low 130s. Catching nine in a game with a total that low, I think, is pretty solid. Kelly, do we have Steve yet? Not quite yet. Okay, let's continue to recap what we talked about during the last segment, which was a little bit of golf. And I think, Kelly, as you guys continue to move forward with long shots and get ready for the Masters, I'll give you a couple names that I really like on this list. First of all, I would absolutely be betting our guy Willie Z. I think Willie Z, to me, if you find him at 35, 40 to 1, I think Willie Z is absolutely a guy that I would be paying very close attention to after what he did over the weekend. And Matsuyama, too, right? Like, this is a guy that's had a ton of success in these tournaments before. Yeah. And I think Hideki Matsuyama, if you feel like the momentum is there, it's like betting a look ahead in the NFL. You know that they're playing good golf. The number really has only one way to go from now until when the Masters starts.
Yeah, Decky's been a tough guy for me to figure out. I've been on him a couple times early this season. It's just, you know, he started out in Hawaii at the Century. He was 58th at the Century. Not a good showing there. The Sony, he was T30. Then Farmers. Okay, T13 in a solid field at the Farmers. Pebble Beach, an elevated event. He's back to T71. Mm. Phoenix Open, then he's T22. So pretty good finish, and then goes out and wins the Genesis. So he's been a tough guy to get a read on this year. Actually, it felt like that at the end of last year or two. What you know about Decky, though, is he's won the Masters before. So we're talking about that.
Yeah,
he's won the Masters before, and he's always going to be great with his irons. And approach game at the Masters matters the most. So where he might struggle with other parts of his game, and it was, don't get me wrong, it was the putter that got it done yesterday for him when he's able to drain everything in sight in that final round. He gained, over two strokes putting yesterday on the field. So it's always, I mean, for the vast majority of golfers that I'm looking to back every week, it is that strong iron game. And then, sure. Okay, are they also good off the tee? Are they also good scrambling or something like that, depending on what the course setup is for the week? But you kind of know a little bit what you need with the Masters. And approach play is always going to be key. And Hideki is always great with approach play. Gained over two strokes on approach for the event this week.
Is the Masters, and this might sound weird, is it the easiest event to handicap just because it's the same course every year? You know exactly what you're getting. It's like it's the first mate, like it's so consistent with what you're handicapping. The variables rarely change.
Yeah, it really, that's, so we were talking about the Genesis, and Genesis, what you'll call it, course history, what sure. You talk about a lot.
And they play at the same course, too, but the Masters is, like, so specific on what you need to win.
So some of these courses, we usually use the word stickier course history than others, right? Which guys tend to play well there year after year? Which guys tend to not play well there year after year? Genesis is about number two or three on tour, only behind the Masters. I mean, the Masters is number one. And the guys that play
that sticky.
Yeah, the guys that play well there usually play well there or have a better chance to play well there every year. The only other wrinkle that's thrown in with the Masters, right, is that you get now, especially now with the Live Tour and everything, you get the true best of the best of the best playing in this tournament, where even this past week, good with point. It being an elevated signature event,
you're still missing all the Live golfers.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the fact that I'm not invested in the golf markets as Kelly and the Long Shots crew are, I this probably is something I've missed over the last 6 months or really 6 months or so. Or I guess when the golf season was really in full swing a few months ago before we got that little break. Has the Live intrusion, I guess, impacted the way that the markets are kind of cut up, right? Because usually in multi-way markets, it's some guys are kind of always on that same pricing tier. But when you reduce the amount of top, like for example, John Rahm, who's like, you know, always at the top tier. Right. You take him off that top level. Does it recalibrate, kind of filter down the way that the rest of the markets are priced?
Yeah, totally does. Totally does. And that's something that you've look, I think the beginning of the PGA Tour season's been a little bit clunky because of that. We've had a lot of long shot winners. I think that the easy answer there is, okay, well, if you take a lot of the top guys off the board and move them off the tour, then it's going to open up a window for those longer shots to actually get home. And I think there's some of that that makes sense, you know, some not, but the pricing and new pricing is definitely something you need to be aware of. That's for sure. Cause there are guys that, you know, used to be 40-1 that are now, that are now 30-1, 28-1 because of some of those guys that have left.
I always like pricing outrights in golf tournaments is really hard. Like it just, and I credit a lot of the people that do really good work behind the scenes. And that's the thing that us as the average Joe Q public bettor doesn't realize. We see these markets and they look all fun and fine and dandy, but it's a lot of curation that goes into creating these multi-ways, especially at books like Circa and Westgate that take big wagers on these multi-way markets with 50, 100-1 pricing guys out there. It's just, it's not easy to price these markets. And I think the golf outright, especially once we get into the Masters, and I'm glad we're able to kind of frame that today because we're now getting to that point where the Masters markets become relevant and the golfing markets absolutely are intriguing as we move down the stretch. Do we have Steve?
We're going to have him next segment.
We're going to have him next segment.
That's right.
If you want NASCAR picks, stay tuned. Steve Mackin. We do have the Daytona 500 coming up in. I think it's at 1 o'clock local here.
What 1 o'clock our time.
1 o'clock our time. 4 o'clock Eastern.
There's another race they had to get out of the way this morning. And I'm interested to talk to Steve about this because what is the, I mean, it's Florida.
Track conditions.
You and I know Florida.
We do. It can be a little wonky sometimes.
Well, even when we don't think there's going to be weather, there can always be weather. So I don't know what happens of how late do we go tonight. If there does something ends up happening.
What's the latest that a Daytona 500 has ever been finished?
Okay, so I asked that exact same question to a
friend. Did we get into Tuesday? Have we ever gotten to Tuesday?
I got a 98% confidence level response of Monday night's the latest we've ever gone. But if this is, Jared, you and I are both not huge NASCAR guys. If this
I'm a huge sharp. NASCAR sharp is all I do. All I do is look at NASCAR odds all day long.
If this is the Super Bowl of NASCAR.
It is the Super Bowl of NASCAR.
Don't you push this for as long as it needs to go? And I know, look, I'm a golf bettor. I understand that there is always an event the next week and you kind of can't screw over the
and
next
getting
event.
Getting those cars to the new location is not easy. It takes a long time.
Oh, I think you came up with a solution. You race to the next event.
Where is the next event? If it's in like Alaska, just have like a million mile drive across the country. No, there's no NASCAR race in Alaska. I'm obviously being tongue in cheek here.
That would be okay.
I'm assuming somewhere in the South, Texas, Atlanta.
Race to Atlanta.
That's about 500 miles too, right? That's actually
that's like a legit race.
I remember several times in my life, I have made the trip, the drive. I call it the 95 corridor, baby, from South Florida all the way up to New York. I remember
God bless you.
I remember one time I did it.
I did that once in North Carolina.
Stopping.
No, you didn't.
Kelly.
What is
16
that?
16 hours
I was gonna
straight.
Say 14. Okay, 16.
16. I left during the day. Morning time, and I arrived like 6 a.m.
You didn't stop?
I stopped
urinate. You weren't Gatorade bottling it in the car.
I stopped to go to the bathroom. I stopped to eat. I did not stop to sleep. I drove 16 hours straight.
Okay.
I
only bring this up because when I went to Florida State, it was always my crowning achievement to be able to make it back down to South Florida without stopping, period.
Oh, well, you got to have a bladder of steel for that.
Yeah, that's right. You did. That's right. Impressive. That's like a solid seven-hour drive.
Yeah, that's difficult.
See, six or less if you drive like me. I also racked up a lot of speeding tickets on
over
that.
Here. it actually fits perfectly into, again, our next segment where we will wrap up the show by talking to Steve Mackinnon and getting some NASCAR. What's the fastest you've ever driven on I-95?
Oh.
Have you gotten the triple digits?
Oh, easy.
Wow. Left foot Billenor. I mean, you fit right in the Daytona 500.
Yeah, yeah. We got to
get
him in the car. I don't want to answer that question, actually.
He's going to incriminate himself. The good news is the statute of limitations on your speeding tickets have expired. Steve Magnin, we'll get his driving record and his NASCAR picks on the other side of Numbers Game.